This is Liberation Radio.
Capitalism needs poverty.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
Whatever we could do, we're gonna do, especially in continuing to preserve this earth.
Each week, we bring you interviews, commentary, analysis, political developments, and struggles affecting workers throughout the country as a way to build the movement for socialism in the United States.
The revolution will be broadcast.
The only thing that will ever defeat racism will be the defeat of its parents, capitalism and imperialism.
Without smashing mass incarceration, working people of all nationalities cannot have justice.
Liberation Radio is brought to you by the Party for Socialism and Liberation.
Welcome to Liberation Radio. I'm your host, Sean Garcia. On this week's episode, we listen to part one of an interview Eugene Puryear did with Ali Samo of the Communist Party of Turkey, where they reviewed the current political and economic situation in Turkey, including the brutal suppression of the recent May Day events.
We are here on Liberation Radio, and I'm joined by Ali Samo in Ankara, Turkey, representing the Communist Party Turkey. Ali, thank you so much for being here with us today on Liberation Radio.
Thank you, too, for inviting me.
So the first question for our listeners, can you give us some history of the Communist Party Turkey? How long have you guys been in existence, for instance?
Sure. First of all, it is the 95th anniversary of the Communist Party. It has been established in 1920. And perhaps I can give a little bit of information about Turkish history parallel to the history of our Communist Party, because the establishment of the Turkish Republic was in 1923. And when the Communist Party was founded by certain communist cadres who had joined the Bolshevik Revolution, actually, they intended to join the Emancipation War, which was continuing in Anatolia, against the imperialists of Europe, having invaded the country after the Ottoman Empire dissolved. So to join the emancipation movement, the national emancipation movement in Anatolia, and to give it a direction for socialist revolution, these cadres, after establishing the party, which was established actually in Baku, in Azerbaijan, they went to Anatolia, but when they were passing to Anatolia, they were slaughtered by the anti-communists. So after the establishment, just right after the establishment of the party, the leaders of the party were killed. So when the Turkish Republic was established by winning the Emancipation War, it actually had friendly relationships with the Soviet Union. But it was a bourgeois power, so it was not friendly with the communists. So the Communist Party and communist struggle was banned. And from that time on, for decades and decades, the Communist Party had to struggle in clandestine conditions. Many people were imprisoned, and there were many police integrations and things like that. And perhaps our listeners may have heard about Nazım Hikmet. Nazım Hikmet is a well-known communist poet around the world, and he was imprisoned for over 10 years in Turkey during those years, and he had to migrate to Soviet Union after he was released. So for many years, the communists really struggled in very hard conditions, and especially after the Second World War and the Cold War, actually, during the Cold War, the anti-communist line of the governments in Turkey ascended. And so it was not very easy to organize a big socialist movement in Turkey for that period. But in the 1960s, parallel to perhaps the rise of movements in the world and independent movements, socialist movements in the world, Turkey also experienced a rise of a socialist movement in the country, and the communist cadres that had been struggling in hard conditions for that time joined the socialist movement. The socialist movement had a class character, the socialist movement had a youth movement also character, and they organized strikes, they organized youth meetings, and the movement, of course, made a threat to the Turkish capitalists. And in 1980, there was a military coup which ended this movement, actually. But the attack of the capitalists, if I may say so, with the military coup was not only physical but also ideological, because after 1980, we find that the general inclination of the left being distanced from a class character, a revolutionary character, more identifying itself with plural democracy and liberal democracy. So we name that period as a sort of liquidation of the communist movement. The cadres were dispersed and things like that. And in the 1990s, with the name of the Party for Socialist Power, a party was established. And it said, we have to continue the Marxist-Leninist line, despite the dissolution of the Soviet Union and all the lies that are pronounced after that dissolution. And finally, in 2001, the Party for Socialist Power changed its name as the Communist Party. And this was actually de facto removing the ban on the communist name, because since the establishment of the Turkish Republic, it was a ban on the communist name. We invalidated, actually, that ban, and since 2001, we are struggling as the Communist Party. just give me, perhaps I can give a few points. We, of course, for the last quarter of a century and at least 20 years, have struggled against U.S. imperialism in the Middle East. We have struggled against reactionary ideologies and reactionary movements in our region. Neoliberal policies have attacked the working class in Turkey, of course, like other parts in the world, and we have struggled against them too. So we have perhaps proved that the Marxist-Leninist line is the right line for our country. Let me stop at this moment, and perhaps you may ask other questions.
Absolutely. Well, I think that that's fantastic history, and it's good for I think our listeners to have that history, because I think most people in America's knowledge or identification with Turkey probably started to come during the uprising in Gezi Park. So I was wondering if you could just, in the wake of that, what are some of the key points that those progressive people, revolutionary people in America should take away from what took place there in Gezi?
Yeah, it was really a surprising movement, because it was a spontaneous movement in Turkey. Turkey does not experience such movements ordinarily. I mean, such a massive movement in the recent history of Turkey has not taken place. Well, first of all, we have to give a little bit of information about the AKP government and Tayyip Erdogan, which probably our listeners know a little bit about. But since 2002, AKP government has been in power for 13 years. And this is not a normal thing for Turkey. Turkey has had many governments, but for such a long period, it was in the 1950s that such sort of elected dictatorship, perhaps we can say, had experienced, Turkey had experienced in the 1950s. But since then, it is a real, it is not normal for Turkey to experience such a long period of time for a government. So AKP government really changed the character of Turkey in terms of as I said, in 1923, the Turkish Republic was established, and the Turkish Republic's origin, actually, its roots, had secularism in it, had communitarianism in it, and the AKP government headed to change this character of the Turkish Republic, and to make a new Turkey, as they call, on a foundation of a religious character, more globalized, more integrated in globalized markets, and a more authoritarian state. So perhaps in the beginning, the people did not realize this aim of AKP government, but in due course, as the people saw this character, there was not so many resistances, perhaps, against the government, but people started having a fury against its policies. So when the Gezi Park, as people may know, it is in Istanbul, in Taksim Square, historical square, was tried to be changed, and people wanted to protect the trees in that region. This symbolized another thing, and it was symbolizing the plundering of the country. It was symbolizing the authoritarianism of AKP. It was symbolizing the reactionary ideology too behind AKP. And in a few days, the resistance became incredibly massive. It is said that nearly around Turkey, 10 million people attended to this movement. But the movement was not an organized movement. The movement did not have a clear political line. So inevitably, it quieted down in a certain time. But people became aware of their collective power, and people became aware of how to struggle against such a government. As the Communist Party, we joined, of course, in the resistance. And after the resistance, we said, we have to do two things. First, people are questioning the system through the policies of AKP. Pro-imperialist, pro-free market, pro-reactionary policies are really questioned. And we have to direct this politicization to socialism. If we do not do this, probably the system will find a way to overcome the crisis that it is facing with the resistance. One thing is this, and the second one is people have to get organized. People need to get organized. So these two points were the tasks that the Communist Party took over, and in the past 2 years, we have tried to achieve these tasks in certain ways. But now we are entering an election, and perhaps I can give a little bit of information about the election and what we have in hand.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I would say that our listeners are greatly interested in the election. The article that we were able to translate from you all describing how your slate of 550 candidates is all women has drawn quite a bit of attention on all of our social media and our website. So please, if you could just enlighten us a little bit more about some of the issues in the election and your intervention.
Sure. Well, I have to remind that capitalists take certain precautions when they face certain such sort of resistances. So when for all those years the capitalists and imperialists were supporting AKP after the resistance, they started to find a way to create an alternative to AKP, because if AKP is the only alternative, then people also try to find a solution outside the system. So within the system, they have to create an alternative. the parties, the opposition parties in the parliament, started to prepare a certain program, we may call, that would continue the Kurd Turkey, the character of Turkey that was established by the AKP, but in a less polarized way, in a less authoritarian way, in a less reactionary way. So now we are facing not only the threat, the real and continuing threat of AKP and its authoritarianism and reactionism, but also a sort of trap for the resistance that, as I said, is questioning the system but has not actually until now reached a socialist consciousness. So this trap is a sort of way to restore the new Turkey, the capitalist Turkey that will be founded on religious terms and that will be integrated in the global capitalist system. So the Communist Party said, we have to challenge altogether all, both AKP and all its pseudo alternatives. Some way to make it was, well, the reactionary ideology is, of course, attacking the workers, attacking the youth, and also attacking the women in Turkey. Women have been discredited. Women daily suffer assaults in Turkey. Women are being murdered by the ideology that is the discourse that is produced by the government. So we said, if we make our candidates all be women, not as a symbolic thing, actually by giving a message to the society that if Turkey has to change, really change, if Turkey will achieve equality and freedom, then this will have to be pioneered by the women. So without giving quotas, which the bourgeois opposition does to women, we said all of the candidates should be women, and they should also organize the election campaign. And that is why we decided on this 550 parliamentary candidates to be women, and that was quite a shock for the opposition parties too.
Absolutely. And if you could just say a little bit too about what some of the principal issues are in the election that you or that you're building your campaign platform around, I should say.
Okay. Well, of course, the June resistance does not continue in the streets by the same way, but after the 2013 June resistance, in the following years, in the past 2 years, there have been certain dramatic events that have made people go to the streets again. Like we call it murders, industrial murders, taking place in working places. For instance, there was an mine accident, as they call, in a town named Soma, and at once 300 workers died in that accident. So after that accident, thousands of people took to the streets and protested the government. Another event was a murder of a young university student, a woman named Özge Can. Before such sort of murders, when they happened, would be called a third page news, which people would not be so conscious about. But this time, again, thousands of people took to the streets and called this murder a political murder caused by the government. So this consciousness is important, we think. And to, as I said before, to organize this consciousness is the most important thing for this election period, because if people just hope for Turkey to change by the ballot, that will be, as I said, a big trap. People have got to organize and have got to give an organized struggle. So the main point in our campaign is to organize the people and to give the vote for the Communist Party in this respect. And also, of course, we say Turkey needs a radical change to overcome AKP's policies for 13 years. And this will not be so easy. We have certain principles. We say the exploitation of the working class has to be abolished. We say Turkey has to leave NATO and to take over all the military bases. We say all sorts of racial, sexual, ethnic, religious discrimination will be banned. Our principles, of course, we also say the privatizations will be reversed and all the means of production will be taken on by the people. In the name of the people, there will be nationalizations. And these principles, we say, need a socialist Turkey. So when we call people to vote the Communist Party, we try to give them the consciousness that they have to struggle, and they have to struggle for a new Turkey on a new class basis.
And we will certainly be looking with interest at that. And one of the major issues, and perhaps one of the things that we share in common as revolutionaries in our two countries, is both of our governments are deeply implicated in the Syrian civil war and the effort to overthrow the Assad regime. What sort of proposals do you make, does the Communist Party make, around the Turkey's inter the government's intervention in the Turkish government's intervention in Syria and America as well?
Turkey has supported the US policy of the Middle East for decades, and in the invasion of Iraq also Turkey had a support, but especially after the Arab Spring, the so-called Arab Spring, AKP government thought that they could take an initiative and just not be a pawn, but be a bigger actor in the invasion of the attempts of invasion of the region and for the hegemony of imperialism. So they, as of course consistent with their reactionary ideology, they started to arm the groups, the jihadist groups that said that were struggling, that were making terrorist attacks on Syria. So, first of all, we had to decipher this the line of AKP and show that they are actually supporting, as they did before, the imperialist interests in Syria. And of course, this also necessitated a struggle against reactionism. It is not simply supporting a foreign military army. It is, as they say nowadays, a proxy war. There are certain groups that seem to be autonomous, that seem to be, as the Islamic State, which you may very well know, trying to act anti-Western, but actually acts to provoke the imperialist intervention, military intervention to the region. So this double role of AKP was our main point of struggle against the thing we had to struggle. The listeners may know about the character of that region. The southern part of Turkey the people living in that part are mostly in Arab origin. The Antakya province is the critical part, which is a piece of Turkey which integrates a little bit in Syria. And at that part, at that region, the people have an anti-reactionary consciousness and anti-imperialist consciousness, and many, many meetings and parades were organized during the first years of the Syrian war and Syrian civil war, and it continues. So the Communist Party tried to politicize this consciousness and to organize the people to prevent AKP's this support and armament towards the jihadist groups. But one important point is also not only the Islamic State, as we know, but also many other groups which they see each other as rivals, are manipulated by the imperialist power. So it is not only one group that threatens the people of Syria and also threatens the people of Turkey, but also number of groups that come together as the Free Syrian Army, all are similar terrorists, all are similar reactionary groups, and we have to struggle to against all of them. And we tried to make we tried to organize this consciousness around Turkey too, because people did not know such the separation between the groups.
That's all for Liberation Radio. I'm Sean Garcia. Please remember, this program is available free for broadcast by community and public radio stations. You can encourage your local radio station to air Liberation Radio. They can visit liberationradio.org for details. And again, tune in next week for more from the struggle for justice.
You have been listening to Liberation Radio, a weekly program from the Party for Socialism and Liberation. You can find us online at liberationradio.org to listen to past shows and connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. Some of what you heard during this program are Creative Commons licensed compositions. Our theme music and some music segments were performed by Six Fingers and used with permission of the artists. Liberation Radio is produced by the Party for Socialism and Liberation to help build the struggle for socialism in the United States. The PSL is a party of activists and organizers. We are in the streets at the demonstrations and picket lines, opposing cutbacks and attacks on workers, standing up to police brutality, fighting for immigrant rights, and struggling against racism, sexism, homophobia, and all forms of bigotry. We stand in solidarity with oppressed peoples around the world resisting imperialism. We believe the crimes of capitalism call for a new kind of society, and we are committed to fighting for it. To find a PSL branch near you, see our upcoming events and learn more about how you can get involved. PSLweb.org. Again, that's PSLweb.org. Also, the PSL's Liberation newspaper online at liberationnews.org, where you can read our news articles and analysis or purchase a subscription to the print edition. Thank you for listening.